Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some of the candidates get a bounce coming out of the Nevada caucuses, and we're heading into the South Carolina primary. There was a debate last evening, and just when you thought that the one before this one couldn't get any worse, last night's was described as angry shouting, incoherent crosstalk, off the rails, bickering, stale and sound bites, and much, much more. And here to talk to us about it's Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Happy to be here.
Last night was reality TV at its best. It was an absolute free-for-all. The moderators, in my view, they get an F. They lost control of that thing from the very beginning.
Well, if it was really reality TV, I think they had canceled the second season. but you're right. There was an awful lot of shouting and carrying on and bickering, and I do think that most Democrats are tired of that. Republicans don't care. In fact, it's to their advantage and to Trump's advantage that they keep doing that.
So last night, obviously, a lot of focus on Bernie Sanders. He seemed to be the target of everyone's attack, and it looks as though he got rattled several times during the debate.
Yeah, this was the first time he really got a taste of having multiple attackers going at him. And in fairness, and we've seen this happen to Biden, and we've seen this happen to Bloomberg, when multiple candidates go at you all at once, it's tough, to deal with. But basically, I think I don't think he hurt himself last night with his existing supporters, but I don't think he did anything to quell fears about being a socialist or some of the comments he's made about communist and socialist regimes. So I think the bottom line is I don't think it hurt him for the nomination, but if he wins the nomination, I think he keeps digging a deeper hole on this whole thing about socialism and spending and big government and saying nice things about communist countries the way he has.
I'm kind of surprised the way that he characterizes Cuba and Venezuela and other socialist countries about being success stories in many respects, when we know that the outcomes in all of those countries have not been pretty.
Well, he gets no votes for saying that. He scores no political points for saying that. So my only conclusion is that he really believes it, and that's what he thinks. He thinks that a lot of these communist authoritarian countries have done some good things. He was careful to say they could do some good things and bad things at the same time, but his emphasis on them doing good things, I think, has really dug a hole for him if he ultimately becomes the nominee. And I think even though he's way ahead right now, I still think he has a rough road to hoe here in terms of winning the nomination. I think a lot of Democrats are very fearful of him.
Yeah, Bloomberg seemed to do a little bit of a better job. He seemed to have his feet underneath him for a lot longer in this debate than before. But still, he just doesn't look comfortable in this environment at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he repaired some of the damage he did to himself in the first debate, and I think last night he looked better. He was more engaged. I think he had some good comments on a range of issues, particularly that would appeal to centrist and moderate liberals. But I think what we saw last night was maybe Bloomberg at about his best in a debate. I don't know that he gets much better than that. I mean, he might be able to come up with a good zinger here or there, or a good line here or there that we didn't hear last night. But I think that's probably about it. Michael Bloomberg is not a political performer. I've watched his three campaigns for mayor of New York, and they were all excellent campaigns. He sort of held his own in the debates like he, you know, sort of did last night. But he's not a political performer. He doesn't, inspire soaring rhetoric and is not funny and engaging the way some politicians are. He's a manager. He's running on competence. He runs on his ability to, like his slogan says, to get the job done. And you either want that or you don't. The people in New York wanted that after 9/11. And he gave it to them, and he had an excellent record as a result. But whether Democrats want, you know, a former Republican, you know, who's spending all this money to come in and do that, I mean, it remains to be seen. Before the first debate, he had a lot of momentum around the country. The first debate stopped it and reversed it in some places. So what we want to see now is whether he gets it back. You know, after this South Carolina primary on Saturday, then you have Super Tuesday the next Tuesday. And outside of Bloomberg and Sanders, nobody else really has much of a campaign in the 14 states of Super Tuesday. I mean, they have volunteers and they have rallies and things, but nobody has big, expensive media campaigns or get-out-the-vote campaigns. Sanders has organizations. Bloomberg has enormous money he's put in these 14 states. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, if Bloomberg can't do well in these 14 states on Super Tuesday, I don't see where he goes thereafter. But on the other side of the coin, how do people like Klobuchar and Buttigieg and Biden perform when they don't have the money to run campaigns in those states?
Yeah, I think one or two of these candidates has to drop out, and it would certainly help the Democratic Party in for the remainder of this primary season. And obviously, no one needs South Carolina more than Joe Biden. He picks up the endorsement of South Carolina Representative James Clyburn, who's very well respected in South Carolina and has been a leader of the Black Caucus in Congress. And is one of the significant players in D.C. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, all of the polls have been showing Biden leading in South Carolina. A few of the polls, and all the polls are showing Bernie Sanders running second, and a few of the polls have shown Bernie Sanders running a close second. But if some stretch Bernie Sanders wins South Carolina, it would be an enormous victory for him, and it would probably be the final blow for Joe Biden. But on the other hand, if Biden wins South Carolina, as the polls are showing he will, and if he wins it by a decent margin, which is now possible, particularly with Clyburn and his organization behind him, it puts Joe Biden back in the game. But the game it puts him back into is 3 days later, he's got 14 states that he hasn't really been campaigning in that much and hasn't put much money in. So how he does in those states, we'll have to see. But I don't think Joe Biden is necessarily out of this race yet. The Democratic Party wants to find a more of a centrist electable candidate who they can nominate, well, some of the Democratic Party anyway, who they can nominate against Bernie Sanders, and Biden would be one of those possibilities.
Yep. Ron, we got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Elizabeth Warren, because she seems to be the next one up to the plate. And then who are going to be the fallout candidates? Klobuchar is not doing well in any of these. It doesn't look like she's polling very strongly either on Super Tuesday. And whether or not they have the monetary oomph to make it through the process. We'll be right back with Ron Fauché from Lunchtime Politics. Stay with us. We're back. We're talking to Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, talking about the aftermath of the South Carolina debates. The primary is this weekend. Ron, in looking at Elizabeth Warren, she's trying to craft a path somewhere between a whole bunch of folks. You make that observation in your Lunchtime Politics publication. I'm just having a real difficult time figuring out where that's going to be. She's obviously gone after Bloomberg. She's now gone after Sanders. Every now and again, she'll take a shot at Klobuchar and Buttigieg. But her strategy's making less and less sense to me.
Well, that's because her strategy is changing. You know, when she got in the race, her strategy was to run to the left of Bernie Sanders and to become the progressive candidate in the race and to ultimately knock Sanders out the race. Well, that didn't work. So now she is attempting to sort of frame the race as a fight between her and Sanders. And last night she sort of did it based on issues like effectiveness and electability, which are not her strong suit. So it really didn't make sense. But like you said, she really needs to position herself somewhere between Bernie Sanders and the moderates, you know, and to be able to say, well, I can bring both parts of the party together. The moderates will accept me. The progressives will accept me. The problem is that, you know, the moderates and progressives aren't willing to accept her right now. And they've seen quite a bit of her over the last 6 months. And it hasn't necessarily helped her chances. Now, I would say that, you know, she's still in the game. She's running third in most of the national polls. Although when you get into state races, she sort of falls apart. You know, she didn't do well in Iowa. New Hampshire is a state that's covered by her local media market. That could be like people in Bay St. Louis and Pastor Stan who are exposed to the New Orleans media market or something. And she did very poorly there and didn't show anything in Nevada. So, and probably won't show much in South Carolina. So her problem is that when the Democrats actually vote, they're voting for Sanders, not for her.
So when we talk about who's on the bubble, obviously in this primary season, you want some others to fall out so that there can be movement as it relates to the top three, or you're almost guaranteed a contested convention, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in terms of the bubble, I mean, Steyer, who has spent a lot of money, and he's put a lot of money in South Carolina, and his whole campaign strategy was to win South Carolina. If he doesn't win South Carolina, he's probably out of the race, even though he has money and can continue funding a campaign. I just don't know whether, you know, he'll see the return on investment to be particularly good at that point. A candidate like Klobuchar, she certainly showed some potential along the way, but it just never came together for her. And Buttigieg has showed a lot of potential along the way. And he sort of zooms up, but then he kind of falls flat, and then he has to come back up again. So, but, you know, what's going on, I think, in talking about an open convention, is a lot of these candidates are going to do their best to stay in the race just because of that. And people like Buttigieg and Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden, they all feel like even though they may not be winning the primaries they should be, they have enough recognition, enough credibility, where if they can win something here and there and get to the convention could turn to them as a compromise candidate. Now, that's probably unlikely, but it is possible.
Could it also be that there's significant interest on the part of some to be the VP?
I think there would be, especially somebody like Klobuchar, who would be a particularly good VP for a male nominee, and maybe Buttigieg would be a possible VP pick. Those two would be on the line there. And in some ways, Joe Biden could be a VP pick for somebody. He's had the job, and he still has strong popularity among most Democrats. That doesn't mean they want him to be nominated for president, but it wouldn't be impossible for him to be vice president again. So anyway, all of those things are possible. I mean, you have some of the candidates who are withdrawn from the race, like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, who would be potential VP picks. Maybe Jay Inslee would be. So you have a few people like that could be VP picks.
I noticed in your last publication, I think it was, your most recent one, excuse me, the California primary. How much of an importance is that going to be? Obviously, it comes with it a lot of delegates. And Bernie Sanders is running away with this thing right now out in California. And it seems to me if he pulls that one off, it's going to be hard for anybody to overcome him.
Well, it will be. That's 415 delegates. And you basically need about, I think it's about 1,900 delegates to win the nomination. And the way the delegate system is structured, if you don't get at least 15% of the vote in these states, you don't get any delegates. So if Sanders and maybe one other candidate or two other candidates are getting more than 15%, he gets an awful lot of delegates. And in the polling reported today, he was the only one who was getting more than 15%. So if he really wipes out everybody in California, he could walk out of California by itself with over a 300-vote delegate lead, which the other states on Super Tuesday could help wash that away, but it's still going to be an awfully big lead. Almost every poll we're seeing now, if Sanders isn't running first, he's running second. And that's showing a lot of strength nationwide.
Same in North Carolina. He's tied for first with Bloomberg, and Biden are all at 20. And then Warren, Klobuchar, and Buttigieg coming up. Buttigieg's at 3%, Klobuchar at 6%, and Warren at 9%. There's some real interesting dynamics going on.
The big wild card continues to be Bloomberg. He got in this race. He was getting tremendous momentum. He's got a big campaign all over the country, and that debate just sort of stopped. It kind of blew it up. But last night, I think, helped him piece it back together. But he's still damaged from it. And so we'll have to see. But again, what's really interesting is he's going to be the only one with a full-fledged campaign in most of those states. And it's going to be hard for some of these other people. I think most of these other people are going to be looking just to have a foothold somewhere. But what people have to realize is, the South Carolina primary is Saturday. And then after South Carolina, the next day is Sunday. So any money somebody like Joe Biden raises because of a victory in South Carolina, they can't even deposit it until Monday morning. And that's the day before 14 states vote. So, if you're not ready to roll by the end of this week in all these states, you're not going to have much of a campaign. So, the Bloomberg wild card, I think, is the most interesting thing right now outside of Bernie Sanders' momentum.
Yeah, and I mean, that just highlights California more so because they're on Super Tuesday, right? Yeah,
exactly.
They're on Super Tuesday, and if he's the only one under those rules that ends up with over 15%, does that mean he could walk with every delegate?
Well, if that's the way it ends up, yes, that's what it means. Now, it probably won't end
up. It probably
up
won't,
like that.
Yeah. But that, you know, that would be.
It's likely that a couple of other people will get some delegates. Maybe two or three other candidates will get some delegates. But, it's a high stakes game from here on out. And then not only do you have all these delegates on Super Tuesday, but then a week later you have, you know, what they have called Skinny Tuesday, where you have a bunch of states coming up. And so, between March 3rd and March 17th, you've got about half the delegates that are going to be elected.
Well, this picture is going to be rounding out really quick here. In the next 2 weeks, we'll have a much better idea as to exactly how this is going to all play out. Ron Fauché, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insight. And we'll be checking back with you as this picture moves back and forth and changes.
Thank you.
All righty. That's Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.